WATD presents Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
If it's Monday night, it's got to be Monday Night Talk with Kevin Tachi. So thanks for having me on.
Kevin, good for you to hold back and let him tell his story.
Putting the South Shore spin on politics, current events, and pop culture.
You guys are the center of the universe today, at least the political universe.
I believe both of you are from the area. Marshfield guys, yes, no?
Correct, yeah.
That's right.
There's only one person not from Marshfield in this room right now. And it's you.
It's me. I'm the outcast.
Well, you've always been generous with the time. I appreciate it very much.
Well, I'm honored to be on your show tonight, Kevin, with that impressive lineup you have.
I believe our guest that we've been waiting for, Congressman Stephen Lynch.
Kevin, good to join you.
The governor of the Commonwealth, Charlie Baker. You ready?
I got to tell you that it was really nice to hear Aerosmith on the intro there.
You're going
to
be the rock and roll governor?
I don't know about that, but...
We have Mayor Joe Sullivan joining us. Sir, how are you?
Well, Kevin, very good to be with you again.
Dr. Drew Pinsky. Dr. Drew, are you there?
I'm here. Thanks for having me.
Mr. Ming Tsai, welcome to the show, sir.
Hey, thanks, Joe.
Massachusetts State Auditor Suzanne Bump. Hello, Auditor. How are you?
I am fine, and I'm delighted to be with you this evening.
And now, your host, Kevin Tachi.
Welcome to Monday Night Talk. It is January 22nd. And we got a great show lined up for you. I'm hoping in a moment we're going to have a gentleman calling just to chat with us for half a second about the Health Connector. Health Connector Day, I believe, was last week. And the deadline to sign up for healthcare is around the corner. We'll get to Alec Loftus in just a moment. Just kind of give you a rundown as to who we got on the show tonight. We got State Senator Mike Brady. It's his turn to step in and do the State House report here on Monday Night Talk. We have Deirdre Hall. She's a Rockland selectman and wants to be a state representative. We'll chat with her. Jeffrey Yelenesian. You know Jeffrey from Brennan's Smoke Shop. Well, he's coming in to promote a boxing event that they got coming up. Let's see, it's at, let me see my notes here. Memorial Hall in Melrose coming up, I think, this Saturday. He's going to have Michael Hinn and Josh Fippin with him. We'll talk about that event. As well, we have rock legend Rick Derringer, rock and roll hoochie coo. He'll be joining us for a few moments because he's going to be part of a Shaw Center block tonight. So we'll talk to Rick for a few moments. And then we are going to transition to Wanted DOA, Rich Figueredo and Peter Tintindo from Wanted DOA. They are a Bon Jovi tribute band. They're going to be performing on February 9th at the Shaw Center. And I believe that they're going to perform for us. So I'm looking forward to that. So that's tonight's show. We're going to tease you just for half a second here. We have joining us, we have Alex Loftus, who's joining us. Alex, how are you?
I'm doing well, Kevin. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, I thought I would give you a couple of moments before we do traffic just to let folks know in regards to what's coming up. There's a big deadline tomorrow in regards to the state's health connector. Could you kind of tell folks what's going on and what they should be aware of?
Yeah, so tomorrow, Tuesday, is the deadline to sign up for health insurance through the Massachusetts Health Connector, and that's the state's Affordable Care Act exchange. If you don't have health insurance, I really encourage you to go online and sign up as soon as possible, because if you don't sign up, you could be fined on your taxes coming up for not having health insurance, because in Massachusetts we do have a mandate.
Yeah, it's always been that way, that if you do not have health insurance, unless you have a really, really good reason, like you can't afford it, and then kind of give you a pass, but otherwise then you could face fines.
Right, but you know, more important, Kevin, is that you start, you know, 2018 right with coverage, and you want to be able to go to the doctor, you want to be able to take care of your family and your health and keep those New Year's resolutions intact, and you don't want to face any tax penalties. So certainly it's in your benefit to get covered, and you can sign up at mahealthconnector.org through tomorrow, Tuesday, or you can call over the phone at 1-877-MA-ENROLL. That's MAENROLL.
Excellent. Thank you so much, and thank you for getting the word out. I know you guys did a great event last week, the day of coverage, and I know that we covered it here at the WATD newsroom, did a story, and this is just kind of a follow-up just to really let folks know about the deadline.
You did, and I appreciate it, and I hope everybody gets covered before the deadline tomorrow, Tuesday.
Excellent. There he is, Alec Loftus, joining us for a moment.
Hey, it's Jeff from Brennan Smoke Shop. Many years ago, I became a boxer at South Shore Boxing Club in Whitman. I didn't know then, but I know now how instrumental boxing was in shaping who I am today. I'm proud to come from a long line of successful fighters raised on the South Shore, the latest of which is a young man known as Mike Badman O'Han Jr. From Holbrook. He's had a very successful amateur career, competing nationally as well as internationally, and is now headed for his fifth professional win. Friday night, January 26th, Melrose Memorial Hall. For tickets, contact South Shore Boxing Club at 781-252-0328. 781-252-0328. Brennan Smoke Shop is a proud sponsor of South Shore Boxing Club and Mike Badman O'Han Jr. From Holbrook, Brennan Smoke Shop, the freshest smoke shop in Massachusetts. Yeah, you could say I've been hit a few times.
Be a part of the show. Call and join in on the conversation. 781-837-4900. Now, back to Monday Night Talk.
Just a little bit of a preview there from Jeffrey Elanesian. He'll be on the show at 7 o'clock talking a little bit about that event coming up on the 26th. Right now, though, we turn our attention to State Senator Mike Brady, who is on the line. Senator, how are you this evening?
Hi, Kevin. How are you?
Doing pretty good. So where were you for the Patriots victory?
Well, I was at Joe Angelo's, and I'll tell you, this game last night got me more nervous than any playoff game we've seen, but they were able to still pull off another comeback victory, and it was amazing, especially after Gronkowski got hurt there, and then when the other gentleman fumbled, but they were still able to pull it off, and Amendola was unbelievable.
Now, will there be any kind of a citation coming from your office if they win against Philadelphia?
Well, I'd have to work with a local elected official from Foxville, because we usually confer with the local officials from the district that they represent.
I just wanted to see what your answer would be. That's a good, proper, diplomatic answer to give. And just having a little fun with you. I know we get some fun coming up in maybe about a week or two. When do we find out about the governor's fiscal 2019 budget?
Well, I know tomorrow evening he has a State of the State address, and I'm going to be in the State House because I also have a revenue hearing to get input from the residents and different administrators to talk about the federal tax law that just got passed, because there's a lot of questions at what it's going to impact on the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. And people will be getting a different tax break. It's going to affect different people in different departments across the Commonwealth differently. So we're looking to hear from the input. So I have a hearing at 11 a.m., and I'm going to be there afterwards for the State of the State address to hear what the governor has to say.
What are some of your concerns with this budget? We know that the Governor Baker has yet to raise taxes. There's always in question as to what is in the, as far as the rainy day fund, because I know the state wants to make sure that they keep a certain amount of money in there for your bond rating. And I know that education is a big deal, especially in your district, especially with the one city in your district.
Yes, I represent the city of Brockton and several towns from northeast and all the way to Hanover down to Halifax and Plimpton. Mm-hmm. And each district is different, but the foundation formula funding changed last year. And it's been a hard hit on some of the communities that we represent. Now, working with Representative Josh Cutler, we were able to get some more money in for Whitman Hanson. I believe the Chapter 70 funding, they received over $24 million. And Brockton, being the biggest city in the district, receives $171 million plus. But some of the way the foundation formula is funded, cities like Brockton got hit with a little bit of cuts. And then the charter school situation, which our test scores in Brockton have been above the state average. So by law, we didn't need to accept a charter school in Brockton. We have school choice with Southeastern Regional, and we also have the Catholic Academy here, but what they did was they included the town of Randolph and the city of Taunton. So mixing the test scores of all three communities brought the test scores down, and that's how they were able to get the charter school into Brockton. But there was not a big push from the community that wanted a charter school. And, you know, we're still waiting to see what happens with them. I am concerned because it does take money away from the public school budget, and that's a major concern of Brockton. So we're keeping an eye on them. And they take in students from other communities as well. But we also have a regional school in Hanover that in other districts that Silver Lake Regional School. So we have other choices for students out there. And these regional schools as well as the local public schools are doing a fantastic job. But I do have concerns where charter schools are not needed, where they're trying to, and they're for-profit charter schools, so they take money away from the public budget.
Knowing that the last 2 years, the city of Brockton's the school budget has seen sizable deficits, and who knows what this deficit will be for fiscal 19, any concerns? Is the city going to be seeing a little bit more funding in regards to Chapter 70 money? And will it offset?
We always try to increase school funding in the Chapter 70 money, and then if they have special needs students that they're teaching, to get more funding for that. Transportation is a big issue. The regional school districts are able to get reimbursed for transportation, but the regular public schools may not. So there's always concerns about that. But we're going to wait to see what the governor has to say and what his proposed budget does have presented to us. And then it goes to the House of Representatives, and then it comes to the Senate. We do try to make any adjustments in there or do any vetoes if need be, and then it has to sustain both the House and the Senate when it goes to a conference committee if there's any differences in the budget. And fortunately, this past year, we were able to get some earmarks put back into the budget. The last quarter of this fiscal year was better news than we've seen the past couple quarters. So revenue has been up in the Commonwealth, which is good news, so we can deliver the funding back to the communities. And I was able to get some money for the Central Plymouth County Water District, work with the local officials. This $30,000. I was able to get $75,000 in the budget of this past fiscal year for testing and treatment of bacteria in the Montponset Pond, and $20,000 for the Wampatucket Pond water testing. And that's important for our whole district. And another good thing we were able to get working with our local officials, we're going to be naming the downtown library after Tom Kennedy, who was our former senator, and we were able to get some funding in the budget for that. And it's a great thing because Senator Kennedy was a great supporter of our public library system. And our library in Brockton was built with a Carnegie grant at the turn of the last century. And Carnegie was a great philanthropist who was very supportive of libraries. And it's great news that we're able to name the library after Senator Tom Kennedy.
Knowing that you're coming into this budget season, there's a temporary change in leadership as the previous Senate President Rosenberg has kind of stepped aside for the moment. Are you expecting anything different from the leadership when it comes to putting together your version of the budget?
Well, right now the same leadership team is in place. Harriet Chandler, who was worked very well with the leadership team in the Senate, she took over as an interim Senate president for now while an investigation goes on. Mm-hmm. And we've got a great working relationship, and I think most of the same players are in place. But we do have new senators. We, there's been some changes. Some of our senators have moved on to other positions. Some have moved on to take positions under Governor Baker. So we have seen a new influx of a couple new senators there, and then also new representatives in the House of Representatives in the Commonwealth. So it's constantly things are changing at the state level with people moving on to other career moves and other jobs, and we've had some special elections to fill those seats.
It's an election year. Are you looking forward to getting back on the bike and getting out there and letting folks know what you're doing for the district?
Absolutely, and I always try to keep the constituents informed. I do have office hours sometimes at libraries in some of the towns, and I do have a couple recently planned for the town of Whitman and Halifax and Plimpton, and I try to reach out not only with the residents but the elected officials in these towns to keep them abreast of what we're doing. And also, we were able to get some money for a Veterans Memorial for the town of Hanover, which is very important because we do a great job in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. We lead the nation in support of our veterans, but we can never do enough, as we all know.
If you have a moment, what's some of the bills that you're going to look to submit during this session? Do you have any bills or any amendments that you're working on for this session?
Yeah, sometimes we file bills in reference to what the constituents ask of us. Like there's some motorcycle groups, for instance, in the AAA who are there to protect us on the other end. They may be opposed to these bills, but I have constituents who want to have the freedom in place like they do in New Hampshire to have a choice whether or not to wear a helmet. And I file that. It may or may not go anywhere because there's a lot of advocates who are more concerned about public safety, and they may be working to steer that bill to keep the law in place to wear a helmet. We've filed some bills in reference to getting things on the ballot for our school system and to get more funding for our school systems, public safety bills. I serve as chairman of the Revenue Committee, and we're always working to get more revenue for our districts. I'm also the vice chairman of the Energy Technology Committee, and we're filing bills for more environmental-friendly legislation to go more with green energy and get away from these fossil fuels. But also in regards to public safety, we just had a hearing a couple weeks ago when we passed an act to enhance child passenger safety, another one, an act relative to law enforcement officer safety. I've got some bills for retirement, so there's some bills put in for early retirement. Again, we weigh out the cost and the means, and we've got to make sure that we can afford to do this, but to even the playing field. And then there's other bills for roads and so forth to get legislation passed. But it all goes through the hearing process. And as you know, there's thousands and thousands of bills that are filed.
Right.
Some do see the light of day, and some it takes a couple of years to get through. You got to keep trying. I hate to use the analogy, but you don't give up the first time like the Patriots didn't give up yesterday.
Right.
You got to keep working at it, you know.
Again, we're speaking with State Senator Michael Brady, a Democrat serving the 2nd Plymouth and Bristol District. We got good news that I guess the folks down in D.C. have put together a temporary fix to the government shutdown. Give me your thoughts on all the issues that we're seeing in regards to trying to get a budget put together. And, you know, how is that going to have any effect on the budget process up here? Will it have any impact?
Well, we're always concerned of what we hear out of Washington, and we're very fortunate in Massachusetts. You know, Democrats and Republicans work very well together in unenrolled, which are considered their independent unenrolled legislators as well. We're fortunate we've got a great team working together. It doesn't mean everybody agrees and everything. You know, Democrats don't always agree with fellow Democrats, but we work together. We've had a balanced budget the past several years. We've got more funding for the district, which is great. But you hear all these horror stories out of Washington, D.C., and I think our local representatives at the congressional level are doing a great job for their districts and our senators. But the problem is this shutdown of the government, this isn't the first time it's happened at the federal level. We've seen it before. It's a shame that some of our military bases have been closed or laid off, and they don't know when they're going to be reimbursed or made up for the funding that they should get paid. Our public safety is a big, big, big issue. We depend greatly on federal funding for that. And with this shutdown, fortunately, it was only for a few days, but you don't know what that impact is going to have on our communities. And hopefully they get back in action. I do believe they voted on a temporary budget for a couple weeks into February, but we'll see what happens after that. We are fortunate, though, we do have a great delegation from the Commonwealth, but it's unfortunate that they don't sometimes get along and the bickering that goes on, and then the media and the tweets that go on, it just gets ridiculous sometimes. And like anything in life, you have to come to a common consensus to get anything done. Now, again, doesn't mean you have to agree on everything. There's always room for good debate and deliberation, but you have to come to a final consensus, and that's what happens in our budgets or in legislation that we pass. You know, there may be differences between the House and the Senate. It goes to a conference committee. They hash out the differences, and then it's an up or down vote afterwards that we implement this. And we've been very fortunate in the Commonwealth to get things done.
All last week, the WBTD aired a series on Silver Lake in regards to what's going on with that as far as conservation, as far as the use of that, and the importance of water. Did you have a chance to hear it? And I guess the question is there anything in regards to Silver Lake on your agenda for the coming year or two?
Well, I didn't have a recent story about it, but I've been working with the local officials over the past several years on Silver Lake, meeting with the officials down there, meeting with the Plymouth County Watershed Groups and our local officials in Brockton. That's why Brockton signed on to the desalination plant, especially when there was a big water shortage. Silver Lake was down. We have Furnace Brook as a backup and a couple other backups and the Avon Reservoir, but it still was not enough. And there was a big debate whether Brockton should go MWRA or desalination. And MWRA at the time was like a four-letter word you don't even want to mention. So they came up with this desalination plant, which was the first of its kind on the East Coast. The cost is high, though. That's the only problem. When they signed on to desalination, they were supposed to market to other communities. And my concern is if you're getting a check every year from the city of Brockton and we're not utilizing the water, and if they're not marketing to other communities, because the more you spread the cost amongst many communities, that brings the cost down.
Right.
And hopefully they can either renegotiate the contract when it ends, or I know our mayor had a plan to buy the plant, and he's trying to work with the local city councils to come up with a proper cost and a plan to do so. And the chief of staff, the CFO, chief financial officer, he's been working on it. But that's more decided within the local officials in Brockton. But I am working with the officials down around the Silver Lake area and those other ponds that surround that to do conservation, to get funding to clean up, because sometimes when water becomes stagnant, like the Westmont Ponset Pond, bacteria grows, et cetera, and you have to keep water flowing, and we need to get the funding, which fortunately we did a little bit in the budget, to clean up some of that bacteria, because it's a major concern with the residents in the area. And it wasn't all caused by Brockton. There was septic systems from years ago that was dumping into there and some businesses, and there was laws in place to protect the environment, but years ago these laws weren't there, and that's why some of the bacteria has grown over the years. And again, if the water becomes stagnant, it gets worse.
Last question I will ask you is well, let's see how good you are as far as being a sports prognosticator. Give me the final score of the Patriots-Eagles game coming up in a couple of weeks.
Well, I hope the score is a lot greater spread with the Patriots winning than it was in this recent game, but a win is a win. I know we've won a couple games, Super Bowls in the past by 3 points or whatever. I hate to make any predictions because I don't want to put a curse on the game or whatever. You know, I'm a little hesitant on that. But I'm hoping for a Patriots victory. And I'll tell you, every game that they've played when they've come back, I'm shocked that they do it again. And I know at some point I feel nervous that, you know, you can't win every game up there. Eventually things are going to change. But while the team still fights and they've got a great coaching staff and it starts at the top and they've got a great team and it's not just one person. So I use the analogy, Mike Brady doesn't get the job done at the Senate alone. We've got a great team in the Commonwealth, and same with Tom Brady and the Patriots. He's got a great team behind him. So when like Gronk went out, Amendola stepped up and other players stepped up, and they have a great team and a great coaching staff, and it's just fortunately they've been able to pull it off, but I'm hoping for a victory on Super Bowl Sunday.
Senator, we want to thank you for your time joining us, and we'll look forward to having a conversation with you in the coming weeks, especially about the 2019 budget.
Yes, we're looking forward to that, and I appreciate your patience. I know we've been looking to get together several times, but our schedules have been so crazy, but we're back in action now that the Christmas holiday season's over and we're starting it back in action. And we've got some bills. We've got to get all the bills passed, I believe, by the first week, at least to come out of committee with the joint 10 rule to get them out of committees by like the first week in February. So we're looking at full force back in action. And a lot of things we're trying to do is move forward to clean up the environment in the Commonwealth. And we've passed some great legislation, like solar net metering and lifting the cap a little bit, but we've got to do more because fossil fuels are still causing a great damage to our environment. And they're even coming up with these new vehicles that are much more energy efficient. And I'm overdue to break down and get another vehicle myself. I've got an old 99 Blazer. I've probably got the oldest vehicle at the State House. So I'm overdue to get a more efficient vehicle myself.
There he is. State Senator Mike Brady has been our guest, and he'll We'll be back in a couple of weeks. We're going to step aside. And when we come back, more Monday Night Talk right here at 959 WATD.
This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.
McGuigan's Pub in downtown Whitman is a great place to unwind any night of the week. Stop in for Singo on Monday night. There's the always popular Irish Sessions every Tuesday night, half-price pizza every Wednesday night, and Friday and Saturday nights feature the best in live entertainment. Catch your favorite game on McGuigan's 8 big flat screens and enjoy a pint at their beautiful 54-foot mahogany bar. Whether you're a regular or coming in for the first time, you're always a friend of McGuigan's Pub, 546 Washington Street, Whitman Center.
Download previous episodes of Monday Night Talk and listen to them anywhere. Check out 959watd.com/Monday Night Talk. And now, more Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
Welcome back to the second segment of Monday Night Talk. And it's going to be a very interesting year this year as politics, state elections, folks running for Congress. Yeah, we'll do the local races, folks running for selectmen. But we have a good friend who was here just last year. She was out knocking on doors and looking for your vote in the town of Rockland. We have Deirdre Hall is here. She is a selectman on the Board of Selectmen. How are you?
Very good. Very good. Thank you.
Welcome back.
Thank you for having me again.
Now, I think this is the first time that you are back since being elected.
Yes, it is. Yep. I was elected back in April, and this is my next second time here. So,
how has everything been serving as a member of the Board of Selectmen?
Sure. I love being a selectman. I love municipal work. I've been enjoying developing relationships with the remaining members of the board. They're all great. They all bring something very unique to our board. We're kind of lucky that we all get along really well and can work together very well to move the town's business forward. But I'm enjoying it thoroughly.
All right, so let me see. We've had Mike Mullen has been on here. I think is he the vice chair?
He is the vice chair, yes.
And Mike
O'Loughlin. Yes,
well,
yes. He was elected with me. Yes.
With you as well. So how are the two new members getting along?
Mike and I get along great, and we got along great even during the campaign process. A lot of times when he was out putting out his signs, I have to say my husband put out my signs because there was lots of snow and we had to dig it out. And so my husband was out putting out my signs. But oftentimes they would meet each other at the same house and would work together. And there were times where I would be checking on my signs and notice that Mike's were blown over, and I would call him. I'd fix him for him. I've known Mike for a really long time. He used to be my husband's boss, so we get along.
Small world.
We get along really well.
Talk to me. What has it been like the past 9 months? What are some of the things that you've been able to tackle, or at least learn in regards to when it comes to a municipality?
Sure, sure. Well, I had a lot of municipal experience prior to this, right, working for the city of Quincy. But a small town is some is the same and some is different. But I will say that the same problems that plague big cities plague small towns, just at a different degree, less of a degree, less scale. But some of the things I've worked on specifically were as part of our community development process, bringing the farmers market to Rockland. We had some concerns with the vendors being able to pay some of the licensing fees, and I sort of made a good argument to the board legally that those fees really weren't applicable in that situation, and was able to make sure all those vendors, local vendors, Rockland people, were able to still sell their goods at our farmers market, which ended up being like very, very successful all summer. I'm tackling stormwater compliance. Actually, 2 weekends ago, I was out in the storm floods all over town. Flooding and stormwater is one of my specialties, and I was out at people's homes trying to problem shoot with our highway superintendent what some of our flooding issues were and what was causing them. And I've also worked really closely with ADA things, ADA compliance. When I was in Quincy, I did a lot of work on sidewalks and ADA issues in regards to curb ramps. Rockland has an ADA transition plan, and we've been really lucky to be able to have to be awarded some grants to help us meet all of our Tier 1 requirements. We're almost there for all of our public building ADA issues, which is, I think, something to be very, very proud of.
Now, the purpose of having you in isn't necessarily to just do a checkup to see how you're doing. The idea is we want to kind of slide into the conversation because you have recently made it known that you're looking to serve the folks in Rockland in a higher capacity than selectmen. And you're actually maybe the folks in neighboring towns of Hanover and Nova. What am I talking about? I believe you're throwing your hat into the ring to be a candidate for state representative. Is that correct?
I am, yes.
Talk to me about what was the decision? What made you, what was the deciding factor that you said to yourself, you sat down with your husband, and you're like, honey, you know, I love what I do as a selectman for Rockland, but, you know, I think there's so much more I can do. Was it something like that?
I wish it was that easy. it took a really long time. Actually, when I was running for selectman, people were already talking about me potentially running for state rep. That was never in my mind. People had been commenting on social media that it looked like I wanted something further. But honestly, at the time, that wasn't even in my mindset at all. I was approached, I want to say 15, 20 times by people in the district being asked to run, and said no 15 or 20 times. And my husband was adamant that the answer was going to be no. And I was adamant that the answer was going to be no. We had some family issues with my children that I was attending to during the fall that took priority. And so really the fall was not, and during the fall, the decision was no. Once we started attending to some of those family issues and things started coming regarding my children and things started coming into and falling into place, I again was approached and I said, okay, maybe. Then it went to a maybe. And then I started thinking about, you know, what I could bring to the table and really what I love to do. And I love my selectman gig. I love it a lot. And I love it because I love touching people's lives. I love working to make the community a good place for everybody and advocating for strong communities and strong families. And I felt like that was something I could bring to the table for the district. I then decided to really determine whether or not it was something I wanted to do. I enrolled in the Emerge program. The Emerge program is a statewide program for women, Democrats, to hopefully train more women to get to go into elected office. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was able to meet with other motivated, strong, very powerful women. And I think seeing their motivation and seeing really empowered me to realize that this is something I could do, that I have it in me and that I can work. I know I can work hard. And if I work hard, I know I can win.
What do you feel are going to be the major issues in a race like this? Now, first off, we don't know if you're going to be opposing another Democrat for the party's nomination come September, or if you are going to be the odds on favorite just to basically take on the incumbent. But what do you feel are the issues?
I think there are many issues. I think there are obviously more statewide issues and more local issues. Some of the more statewide issues obviously are bills that have already passed. I mean, we have in bills that are currently pending in regards to criminal justice reform has been passed in the House and the Senate. But and then also the issues of the Safe Communities Act, I think, is a big issue right now. But I think also what we need is somebody who's going to understand the needs of our district and understand the needs of our communities and want to empower our local communities to be the best they can for their residents. And I think with my municipal background, I bring that experience in a way that other candidates may not.
What do you feel are the needs of your district? And what's to say that it's uniform across the district, that Noel's needs might be somewhat different than Hanover's, and Hanover's are not as similar to or dissimilar to Rockland.
Correct. Our needs are diverse across the district.
Correct.
There's no doubt. But there's a couple overarching issues. Public infrastructure is a big one. I think in different communities have different public infrastructure needs depending upon what what services that they provide. The cost of public safety and emergency management, I think, is also an issue. You know, it's we each community has their own police and fire and you know, medical emergency response, and the costs associated with those continue to explode. I think the issue of healthcare, not just on the municipal level for our employees, but also for just residents as well, I think is another issue that is similar across the district. So there are some similarities, but there are some differences. Clearly, our district is economically diverse. So I think that because of that, that brings different needs to different communities. So
what would you feel are some of the areas that you would really push for? I know a lot of times I've done enough of these conversations with candidates, and some of the top ones are local aid. What are you going to do, as Christine James likes to say, to bring the bacon back to the district? Local aid such as Chapter 70 money when it comes to, you know, making sure that your towns get enough money when it comes to school budgets, or Chapter 90 money to be able to do certain road projects.
Yes, so I'm definitely in support of recalculating the formulas associated with both those programs. Mm-hmm. And you know, part of the issue, I'm definitely more familiar with Chapter 90 just because I have a public infrastructure background. Sure. But one of the problems with Chapter 90 that you'll find is that you only get reimbursement back from the state from roads that are accepted public ways, and in many of our subdivisions they are not. So a lot of the roads that we have in different communities are not eligible for calculation in that reimbursement rate. And for areas with growing housing and you know, were built out later with subdivisions as opposed to, you know, housing that pre-exists zoning, that can impact Chapter 90 reimbursement. But I think the other thing I wanted to think about is also not just how to bring more money back, but also ways that we can reduce some of the costs associated with some of these services. I think that we need to start potentially looking at regionalizing some services. Specifically, I did a lot of work in Quincy and now in Rockland with stormwater. Stormwater does not obey geographical boundaries. Therefore, it doesn't always make sense to fund it on a geographical boundary issue. Right. So I think there are ways that we at the state level can work to try to be more efficient with the mandates that we put on municipalities so that they can meet those obligations in an economically feasible way.
Yeah, I was speaking with Deirdre Hall. She is a Rockland selectman, and she's also a candidate for state representative in the 5th Plymouth District. You're just getting your campaign up and running. How is this going to be different from running? I mean, for selectmen in Rockland,
it's bigger, obviously, My volunteers are on fire.
Wow.
I have amazing volunteers. They are very excited. They are the energy in this campaign. I mean, they really, really are, and they're why I am very tired now and very tired, it seems like, every day now, but they're what keeps me going, and they give me, you know, a lot of motivation, and I'm very lucky to have such a great group of volunteers. So when I ran for a selectman, of course, you know, only about, what, 10% of your registered voters even show up for the election, so I feel like there wasn't as much, you know, excitement around the election, and it was more of a nuts and bolts sort of issue. But now there's definitely passion behind it. And I think because I'm a woman running right now, I think there's a lot of passion behind that as well. Obviously we had the second women's march the other day. And so there definitely is, at both the state and the national level, this motivation to get more women elected to office. So I think the campaign brings that passion too. So it's very exciting.
Okay. Anything in regards to the state budget? We know that we're just days away from the governor releasing his budget. Anything? Let's say you're elected in November. What are some of the things that you'd like to be an advocate for when it comes to your district, or when it comes to monies, when it comes to the budget? What's your area? What's your niche?
Well, I've mentioned it. Public infrastructure is a big one. We have a aging infrastructure system. Suzanne Bump's office put out a report a few years back in regards to our infrastructure, and it's going to be millions of dollars, tens of millions of dollars on both water, sewer, and drain. you know, we can't expect small municipalities like ours to be able to foot that whole bill themselves. We need to start thinking about, like I said, regionalizing potentially to spread the cost across, you know, a larger base, or start thinking about providing some sort of funding opportunities to make that happen. Also, housing is a major issue, and in regards to and affordable housing. But again, I am someone who really believes in the power of local government, so I really love to see, you know, more enactment of 40R. The Governor Baker just put out his housing bill in regards to the Housing Choice Plan, and it does look great on its face, but I know that in Rockland specifically, we're encountering a lot of obstacles because we have a chicken and an egg problem, where you're eligible for grants and funding if you can produce units. And we can only produce units if we can upgrade our utilities, and that grant money can be used to upgrade your utilities, but we can't access the grant money until we produce units. And even though we've done the plan and we've done, you know, checked some of the boxes, we're kind of at a place where we can't move forward anymore because we're stuck, again, with this utility crisis. So I really feel like there's a huge connection between housing, utilities, and transportation. And those three can't be looked at individually, like in a vacuum. We have to look at how they interplay with one another. And I think that they're all essential features of making sure that we have strong and economically prosperous communities.
Have you had any conversations with any of the South Shore delegation, whether it's the Joan Moschinos, who is serving her first term in office, Jim Cantwell, Josh Cutler? Have you had a chance to have conversations with any of them to help bolster your campaign and increase the odds of success?
Yes, I had a great conversation with Joan the other day. I found it very exciting. We talked a lot about nuts and bolts of campaigning. It affirmed my belief that I'm planning this the right way as a marathon, not a sprint. Mm-hmm. And it confirmed to me that I'm working effectively with my volunteers to make sure I'm plugging them into the right places to really bolster the campaign. I've also spoken with Jim Cantwell on a few occasions, specifically with Jim too. I've known Jim for a very long time, and I spoke with him specifically on having young children when you are serving, because that's something I will have to balance. I have three children,
right.
12, 11, and 8. So they are young, but that was a good conversation with him as well to figure out, you know, what the demands are there and kind of how he struck that balance.
Excellent. We just got a couple of moments left here with Selectman Hall. If there was anything you wanted to say to our listeners who are tuning in right now, any message, or do you have any information in regards to social media or a website that may be going up or that might already be up, launched?
Sure. So we're hoping to launch the website soon. It has been a labor of love. It's not my technical expertise, so I've handed it off to somebody who's better. But the website is going to be www.hallforall, F-O-R, hallforall.org. Right now, the email, generic email for the campaign is info@hallforall.org. I do have a social media site. If you actually just Google @HallForAll, it'll come right up. And please feel free anytime you post anything about it or respond to use that same hashtag so that we can start a running dialogue for support for the campaign.
Watching any other races other than your own? Are there any other races? Are you watching for governor, or are you watching any races in regards to on the federal level?
The one I'm going to pay a lot of attention to is the Keating-Tedeschi race, obviously, because it definitely impacts my district. And also, I have, like I said, I have some fired up volunteers in Norwell. And so they are also looking at see who may run against Senator O'Connor. So.
Oh, very interesting. Well, I want to thank you so much for coming in and responding, because when I got your press release, I'm like, because I like this time of year as well, because an opportunity to put a microphone in front of the candidate and get the word out. That's the idea of what we do here at 959 WATD, is we provide these microphones so we can better inform the voters about the candidates who are running for office, seeking office, and they can make an informed choice when they pull that curtain.
Yes, right. Yes, and fill in that bubble.
Fill in that bubble. All right, we're going to step aside. And when we come back, hour number two of Monday Night Talk, we'll have some great conversation, and we're going to have some great music right here on 959 WATD.
The South Shore's breaking news, weather, and traffic station.
95.9 WATD FM Marshfield and 95.9 WATD.com. This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.
Ever see a windshield crack grow smaller? Not ever. I'm Peter Brown of Tiny & Sons Glass in Pembroke. Windshield cracks grow like a bad toothache. The reason is, you come out of your warm house into cold air. You reach for that cold door handle. Your windshield is cold. You turn on a defroster. Your windshield is hot. Windshield expands. Not much, just enough to pull that crack along. Advice, check your windshield now. Little dings, starburst, bullseyes. We'll fix them before they grow awful. Just call 1-888-64-TINIES. And thank you.
McGuigan's Pub in downtown Whitman is a great place to unwind any night of the week. Stop in for Singo on Monday night. There's the always popular Irish Sessions every Tuesday night, half-price pizza every Wednesday night, and Friday and Saturday nights feature the best in live entertainment. Catch your favorite game on McGuigan's 8 big flat screens and enjoy a pint at their beautiful 54-foot mahogany bar. Whether you're a regular or coming in for the first time, you're always a friend of McGuigan's Pub, 546 Washington Street, Whitman Center.
Welcome back to Monday Night Talk. Don't just listen, say something. Call 781-837-4900. And now, more Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
All right, we're back to hour number two of Monday Night Talk. We thank Deirdre Hall for being a guest, as well as State Senator Mike Brady. Hour number two is going to be fun. Later on this hour, we'll do the Shaw's Conference Center block, as we have rock legend Rick Derringer, as well as a couple of great guys from Wanted DOA. Rick and Peter in studio and perform a couple of tunes. Pretty cool. But first, good friend Jeffrey Yelenesian, Brennan Smoke Shop, and a pugilistic kind of a guy in studio. We were going to talk, we were discussing last week. Jeffrey's like, you know, I'm going to come in, I want to talk, you know, we're making some headway in regards to some of our lobbying ways up at the State House. You got Guy Glotis working and doing stuff in regards to tobacco legislation and stuff like that. But he's like, oh, you know, I got a better idea. A big fight coming up in Melrose, I think it's Memorial Hall, and got a couple of great guys who are up and coming. Well, we've got one guy who's up and coming, who's in studio.
We have more than a couple, by the way.
Who's here now.
Yeah.
Who's here right now. So we had Jeffrey, and then we got Josh. Is it Phippen?
Yes, sir.
Josh is here. And Mike, of course, we got. We're going to use your dad's intro. Right. I think let's go with cut one, Larry, if you will, to introduce our boxer.
Introducing first in the red corner. He's wearing the blue trunks with white trim and weighs 158¼ pounds from Brockton, Massachusetts. His professional record, 6-1, 4 KO victories. Ladies and gentlemen, Mike, the Bad Man O'Han.
Okay, well, that's Junior. Not accurate. I think 158 is a little heavy for a welterweight, right?
Yeah.
And, of course, that's his dad's intro from when was that? Do you know?
It was 280.
It was back 80s. In the day. 80, it was
86, I think I saw on that YouTube. Oh, yeah.
Was it really?
I think.
Oh, yeah, 82 is the gloves.
158 would be, that'd be close to like middleweight, yeah? Or it was super welterweight.
Super welter.
Because it's changed so much, hasn't it? It really has. But we're here to talk about some fights taking place this coming Saturday?
Friday,
thank you very much.
Friday night up in
Melrose. Here I am telling everybody it's Saturday. Folks, stop what you're doing. Fix your calendar. It's Friday. Friday night. Actually, what we have is a fight that you did not too long ago. If you play cut two, this might be a little bit more accurate. Maybe you could tell us what happened in this fight, too.
We're here at Plain Ridge Casino, and it is time for the professional debut of Holbrook, Massachusetts' Mike Ohan. He'll be taking on Dorchester's Raphael Francis, who enters this fight with a record of 0 wins, 9 losses, but usually goes the distance and gives good fighters a tough go. He'll be an interesting test for Mike Ohan in his pro debut. Ohan is wearing the red trunks with the black trim, and it is Raphael Francis with the blonde hair who is wearing the trunks that are half the American flag colors, half the Irish colors. This one's scheduled for 4 rounds in the welterweight division. Ohan with Ohan right across his belt line on his trunks. They call him Mike Badman Ohan.
Junior.
That was, and on that, I actually know the person. When I heard it, I go, I know this. It's Peter Zimborn. Now, I don't know if that was with New England Sports TV or if it was just something he was doing for Plain Ridge, but he had
Murphy
the call.
Promotion, yeah,
Murphy Promotions. Murphy Promotions. All right, there you go, right there. Well, and that's actually who is promoting this particular fight, right?
Yep.
Talk to me about the card, if you will, Josh.
It's a card of a couple local guys. They had been trying to get together, Greg Vendetti and
Silvera.
They've been,
the surgeon.
Yeah, they've been, you know, talk between them for years, and now they're finally getting it on this card. So that's going to be interesting.
Two guys with good records. Vendetti has a 16-2-1 record, and Silvera has the surgeon. Derek, the surgeon, Silvera is a 13-1 record.
Yeah, and Vendetti's come off a couple of huge victories.
Can I go back to Mike's fight on the in Plain Ridge in the 0-9 guy?
Yeah, it was his debut, yeah. Which I believe he won because he's undefeated.
So. Yeah, oh, yeah.
The kid that he fought from Dorchester,
yeah.
He's a fighter. That kid, that was a fight. Mike was in it, and that was also Murphy's Boxing. Murphy's Boxing is doing a really good job with boxing locally, and they're bringing fights, not, you know, boxing matches, fights. This card is full of fights. Mike's got himself in a fight.
Yes.
What is it about? Now, how old are you, Mike?
24. I just turned yesterday.
Yesterday.
And what's the appeal in regards to boxing?
I just grew up around it and finally found it.
Okay.
Something about punching people.
Really?
It really is. I think you find anything, even like craft that you do, like radio broadcasting, you find something that you like about it, and then makes you want to keep doing it.
It's a great way to stay in shape.
It's a best workout, and also there's more.
Mike shaking his head no.
What?
Oh no, yeah, no. I was laughing at what he said.
It's an inside joke with me.
Oh, okay.
Just want to be clear about one thing. Today in Massachusetts, there are more women boxers than men. Okay. Just so we're all clear.
Pal.
Just saying.
So
tough guys.
Now who are you facing off against this Friday?
Eric Palmer. He's 30-something fights. He's from Pennsylvania.
Okay. So here, now your record right now is
4-0 with 2 knockouts.
Really?
Yeah.
So now do you have sneaky knockout power? Are you more of a tactician? Were you getting the points?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just.
Can I talk? Can I?
Yeah, go.
I seen him, all of them. He knocks them out.
Really?
That's it.
Not like pepper. The one knockout, he dropped that dude 3 times. Like one punch drops, like really dropped him. Kid's legs buckled. The other one, the last fight up in New Hampshire.
That was my second.
He just came right out of the corner and clobbered this guy with a right hand, and he was not getting knocked.
What he said to me, he goes, "This guy just looking at me funny." In the middle of a blizzard up in New Hampshire, he said, "I don't like the way he's looking at me." And
he had a poor attitude. I didn't really like it. So.
It sounded like a whip. And just,
they were
I,
on,
I didn't, I didn't
they
get
were on
down
the other
stool.
Side. I was in the guy's corner. Michael got him in his corner with a right hand. I saw it from that side. He crushed his face.
I did not get down the stairs. And I look at my dad. I go, what?
Does that sound like, can you hear why people are so attracted to it?
Yeah, I've loved boxing. Again, you're talking about somebody who grew up in Brockton, the home of Rocky Marciano and Marvelous Marvin Hagler, two world champions.
Many others.
Robbie Sims.
Robbie Sims.
Michael Colbert. Brian Powers.
Mike Ohan Sr.
There's a litany of names.
Dana Rosenblatt.
Sure. From either from Capiello or from Goody and Pat Petronelli. Yeah. You're talking to a guy who loves boxing. But I'm also not a purist. I like MMA. I like UFC. And I like some of the local product. I think that there's enough room for both to exist.
Like an MMA promoter to take two boxers and put them in the ring together.
Yes. But you know what? But here's the thing, though. There's an art to matchmaking.
Indeed.
There's an art. You want to get two guys together who are going to put on a good show and who are going to give you a good fight.
Perfect example of poor matchmaking. This past weekend, Barclays Center. I don't remember the guy's name. One guy, tall, skinny. Other guy, short, lefty. It was I couldn't stay up, and I didn't see the end of the fight. But I'm pretty sure the guy that was supposed to win lost because of a poor matchmaker.
We were actually sparring with the guy who the short southpaw.
Good.
It's Javier Fortuna.
Yes.
And Robert Easter, and I had Fortuna win by two rounds.
So boxing is back, Kevin, and it's
I don't think it's gone anyway. I think it's just been
it's in a lull there for a while.
Let's not forget when I was coming up, you had the heavyweights kind of dominated.
Your heavyweight division now, you got Anthony Joshua and Dante
half
Wilder.
Well, half of your heavyweights are over in Russia or in Europe.
Donate's American. Anthony Joshua is United Kingdom.
I know, but I'm just saying though is that the names that drew people to watch, whether they watched on ABC or they watched HBO,
or other sports, yeah.
Yeah,
those countries, you go over to UK, they have like the stadiums, filling the stadiums for boxing matches.
Packed.
You go over here, it could be nobody even trying. That's why it's Barclays Center. It's not Madison Square Garden anymore because they couldn't even.
But you still have local guys who are, I know Mike Capiello, a guy, Mike and his brother.
Rich.
Who is a promoter, fight promoter, doing their best to put on the Marciano. They do the annual Marciano fights.
Three-time Marciano champion.
There you go, right there. Yeah. Do you feel as though it's boxing's on its way back, Mike, or do you feel that it's still prominent, but it's just not?
The competition over here, we're bringing it. We're starting to bring it to the other places and. It's always coming back around here.
How often do you see yourself fighting? I mean, what's the idea? You try to fight every 4 months? Do you want to keep yourself fresh so you can be able to train, recover?
As much as I can. I mean, right now it hasn't been a year for me since I turned pro. What was it, May?
Yeah, May.
May 13th.
What was your amateur record?
I had like about 70 fights, something like that. Competed everywhere. I can't really tell my...
I'm 70. It was something like...
It's like fighting every week.
I was a pretty active amateur, and he like tripled my amateur record. Just saying.
What was your amateur record?
25-5.
That's not too bad, dude.
I don't remember.
Yeah, you don't. Like
You were a Joshua Osho boxer.
I only fought nationally one time.
What's that like? What was that like, Jeffrey?
They pay, it's the Olympic Boxing Committee. I fought the Junior Olympic Nationals. It was Olympic Boxing Camp, Northern Michigan University. They fly you out there. You stay on the university in the dorm with the other fighters. It's a really enlightening experience, especially I was 13 or 14 years old at the time.
Michigan, yeah.
Did you go with us?
No, I didn't. I was too young for that trip. I won the Junior Olympics that year. But I wasn't able to go nationals. I were only able to go to the regionals then.
So Joshua and I actually trained and fought together. He was like my little brother in the gym, and I was like everybody else's little brother. And so I was the little brother that would hurt the big brother.
He was.
Really? So what do we want to tell the folks at home in regards to this fight this Friday? Of course, if folks want tickets, if you're a boxing enthusiast, you can get tickets. They're on sale now at Murphy's. Boxing.
Oh, we have tickets.
I think they're sold out, Kevin.
At the
gym, we have tickets.
What gym is that?
South Shore Boxing in Whitman.
Right on South Avenue.
Yeah, 356 South Ave. You can contact myself on Mike Ohan Jr. His Facebook page. You can contact us on there. His we got
how many you got left?
I don't know, maybe 30 tickets left.
So is this similar to MMA where like small gyms are allowed to sell tickets?
Well, that's how you pay for your you pay like in order for which is kind of tough in the sport of boxing unless you got sponsorships. Like, we have Brennan Smoke Shop that sponsors Jeff, which helps us out tremendously. If you don't have somebody like that, you have to sell tickets to get your guy from Pennsylvania to come in and fight.
And, travel,
travel. We got to pay all...
Hotel.
You know, everything.
All the expenses.
So, you know, we start off $5,000 in the hole, and then hopefully we sell all of our tickets so he gets paid. He's not guaranteed to get paid at the end of this fight.
I don't think he's getting paid for this one.
You know.
And are you open to this? Are you going to stay out? Do you like that weight class, welterweight?
Yeah, I'm going to try to stay here and take it as far
you feel
as
that I can. That weight class has more, a little bit more of the spotlight. I mean, you look at.
Yeah, I mean, Mayweather. always like welterweights and middleweights are always prime time. And then I feel strong at 47, which is welterweight is 47. I feel strong here anyway.
He don't cut weight. He walks around at 150.
Yeah, but he's 24.
If he grows, you know.
I mean, when you're that age, your metabolism is racing.
We talked about me. I'm 41.
When you get to 30, 35, don't listen. I look at a cheeseburger, I gained 5 pounds.
I'm 36, and I'm
just because you get older doesn't mean
he's right. He is. He's in impeccable shape.
Yeah. Round.
I think fight. What I'm trying to say is, always you're fighting. You're at the peak of performance. There's not an ounce of fat on this kid's body. No. In order for him to go up, he would have to, you know, hit the rack really hard, which I don't really see. The fights there. I mean, it's just not. You're better off. With boxers are better off where they naturally, you know, you don't. You know,
well,
you have
naturally
a nice...
gain weight. Well, then you talk with your trainer and your folks as to do we want to go up a weight class or half a weight class.
Yeah, typically you're going down.
Go down. Like if the money's right, you know, people do just about anything in boxing.
True.
You know, but I'm all about the health of my boxers, you know, I don't believe in 10-20 pound weight cuts. You gotta think you're getting hit in the head. So, you know, you dehydrate yourself and sure. Your brain's getting, you know, taking a lot of that nourishment out of it. And the next day you're getting punched in the head. It's, you know, the worst thing he has to do is jump rope. Like 2 days before he's on weight, we come in and then he goes and has a huge steak and we're ready to go.
Ready to rock and roll. So, yeah. You know, while we were kind of during the break waiting to come on air here. Again, cool. We've got Jeff Yelenesian, Josh Fippen, and Mike O'Han, who are here. Mike got a big fight coming up this Friday. We were kind of throwing it around in regards to Mayweather taking on an MM fighter in Conor McGregor. Is that something maybe someday if you're able to climb the ranks and get a big name, would you?
What, go down
MMA?
Would you ever cross promote a sport? What was your thought on that, Big?
I don't know. I wish it never happened. But
really?
Yeah.
Why?
I mean, it's just kind of, I don't know. It was bad and good for the sport. I don't know. I can't tell. It's too much.
He just fights. That's all Mikey. He really doesn't get involved in the politics of anything. He comes in, and what am I doing today? Yep. We tell him what he does. You know, he really just doesn't care. He sure. Trusts the system that we put in front of him, and he's a hard worker.
Student of the sport?
Oh yeah, of course.
Who are the boxers that you model at or you've seen film?
Today I was watching Felix Trinidad. I like old school fighting. I'll watch Alexis Arguello. I'll watch Duran. I'll watch Ali. I try to move around like Sugar Ray Leonard sometimes. And
Salvador Sanchez.
Yeah, Salvador. People say I look like Salvador Sanchez when I got my hair going, even though I'm not Spanish, but I'm Armenian.
With that mustache.
Yeah,
a little Spanish. Like,
yeah, a little bit.
So, Armenian.
He's trying to get us all to do the mustaches.
Oh, Kevin. I too am Armenian, obviously, Yelenesian. It's O'Han, but it used to be before Ellis Island, O'Hanian.
Okay.
You can always tell Armenian, I-A-N or Y-A-N.
Anything we want to say in closing of this, Craig? And I want to thank you guys for coming down. And if folks want to I'm sure you have boxing programs and stuff.
I got juniors classes Tuesdays and Thursdays, 5 to 6. From ages 5 to about 12, they come in, and it's a beginner's class. We're getting women's boxing, women's cardio fit boxing going. Hopefully by the beginning of the next month, we should have classes going on during the day. You can hit us up on the Social Boxing Facebook page. We got Badman Inc. clothing line.
That's, very nice.
That's we got swag. T-shirts for sale as well. And we got Badman Inc. O'Hans little fans out there.
We like it. Nice.
The kids that come and support him. He's got a lot of young kids that support him. And like I said, he's coming up, and, he's going to be the real deal. No doubt in my mind, will he be a world champion?
Excellent. Well, we wish you the best of luck.
Thank you.
Come this Friday night. Jeffrey, anything you want to say quickly in closing?
This is your guy. I've been around the game for a long time. I've seen a lot of stuff. And, if I'm going to throw our name on it, first of all, I would like to see him successful. And I'm trying to do for him what, nobody really. And I can't say that people did things for me when I was boxing, but I want to do other things. This is a challenge for
me. Paying it forward.
This is my next challenge. My next challenge is to make this kid great. And so I'm telling you, this kid is the real deal.
Just did a toy drive. He did a huge toy drive. We brought in like 85 toys for, so he's not only, he gives back. We're not just trying to take, we're trying to give back.
Excellent.
But you can get the tickets from us at Social Boxing.
On South Avenue.
Yep. 508-577-2358. Give us a call.
Excellent. Guys, I want to thank you very much for joining us. And again, gloves up. Good luck, my friend.
Thanks,
Jeffrey. We'll have you back in.
I can't wait.
Yeah, so we
can. Badman Inc.
Badman Inc. You step aside when we come back. Talk a little to Rick Derringer, rock legend. Stay tuned.
This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.
McGuigan's Pub in downtown Whitman is a great place to unwind any night of the week. Stop in for Singo on Monday night. There's the always popular Irish Sessions every Tuesday night, half-price pizza every Wednesday night, and Friday and Saturday nights feature the best in live entertainment. Catch your favorite game on McGuigan's 8 big flat screens and enjoy a pint at their beautiful 54-foot mahogany bar. Whether you're a regular or coming in for the first time, you're always a friend of McGuigan's Pub, 546 Washington Street, Whitman Center.
Follow Monday Night Talk on Twitter. Start at 959watd.com/Monday Night Talk. And don't forget to add hashtag Monday Night Talk to your tweets. We now return to Kevin Tachi and Monday Night Talk.
Welcome back to Monday Night Talk, and we got a great guest joining us, as he is going to be front and center at the Shaw Center coming up on Saturday, February 10th, 7:30. Again, the Conference Center in Brockton, and we have the one and only Mr. Rick Derringer, American guitarist, vocalist, Grammy Award-winning producer, and much, much more. Sir, welcome to Monday Night Talk.
Oh, it's always fun. Thank you.
I have probably the first thing I got to ask you right out of the gate, and that is what hat do you like wearing better? Being the producer, discovering talent, working with some of the great groups that you've worked and artists that you've worked through throughout the years, being front and center, playing guitar and singing, what do you like doing better?
I like it all. I really do enjoy lately working in the studio. I used to use engineers a lot, and lately ability to record at home has become so sophisticated. You can do it yourself, and you can be your own engineer, and I'm really loving learning how to really perfect that craft now.
But you're, from what I understand, and I got to say a big thank you to Ken, the gentleman who I guess is a drummer in the Rick Derringer Band, give me a little bit of insight. I didn't realize that you were somebody who discovered someone like a Weird Al Yankovic or a Cyndi Lauper and were able to kind of cultivate them into the acts that they are.
Yeah, I discovered Weird Al. He came to my attention, and he wanted to do one song. And after I heard him, I said, no, we don't want to do one song. We want to do a whole album. And the first album I did without a record company. I believed in him that much. Created the whole first album and then went out and found the record company to release it. And I ended up doing six, Weird Al's first six albums, and we won 2 Grammys.
And how phenomenal, you know, with Weird Al, and not to get off on a tangent on Weird Al, but this is a guy who now artist, if he, you know, does a parody of one of their songs, they basically have made it.
Yeah, that's right.
No, here's the thing. He hasn't done one of you yet, though, has he?
He hasn't what?
He hasn't done it. Has he done any parody songs of Rick Derringer's?
No, he hasn't.
All right, you might have to
Rick Derringer songs. And the only guy that really, you have to, when he does a parody, he has to get permission from the original writer. Right. And because he all of a sudden now becomes co-writer because he's changing lyrics. And the only person that's turned him down was he wrote a song and we thought it was going to be a huge hit. And it went like, it's still Billy Joel to me. And Billy Joel said, no, I don't think so.
Wow.
And so that was one of the only guys that's ever turned him down.
Oh, Billy. Well, maybe someday. Who knows? Again, you got a show you're going to be doing coming up on Saturday, February 10th. Big show. Do we get a chance to hear some of the great songs? Hang on, Snoopy.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I started performing. That's one of the. As soon as I got a guitar and learned how to do anything on it, I started performing in front of audiences wherever I could find one. And I just love doing that. You ask what I like. Mm. One of the things I really love is the communication that happens every time you go on a stage in front of an audience. It's something you can't. Music can't lie. A language that we're speaking, we can actually tell things that people call lies.
Right.
But in music, there is no lying. It either works. It's effective. You send it out, and the audience either likes it or they don't. And there's no lying involved. It's great.
What came first, the singing or the guitar playing? Would you say that the guitar playing was first?
Well, my mom taught us how to sing harmony, my brother and I, when we were little kids, before I had a guitar.
Okay.
But as soon as I got a guitar, I looked at myself as a guitarist. But in order to be a guitarist, you have to have songs to play, and that involves all of a sudden singing. And so I became a singer. And I've learned to do that pretty well over the years, too.
Songs like Rock and Roll Coochie Coo, and one of my favorites, because I'm a wrestling fan, is I Am a Real American.
Yeah.
Talk to me about still singing and writing after all these years. You're still active.
Oh, yes. As a matter of fact, my wife, Jenda, is her nickname, and I have written so many songs together in the last 15 years. That you can, you know, go on Google anytime or YouTube and just pull up Rick and Jenda Derringer and find a lot of stuff that we've done together. And we're pursuing that at this time.
If I can ask you a little side story in regards to Hang On Snoopy, from what I understand is this is the Ohio State University's, I think the band itself has played it, and this might be the school song.
Yeah, they made it their fight song many years ago. Well, shortly after it came out.
Right.
And the college band started playing it. And it was so popular that they had to keep doing it and doing it and doing it. Well, Columbus is also where the capital is. So some of the legislators got the idea this song could be the state rock song. It's so popular in Ohio. And so they passed through the legislature an act that actually created, I think it's the only state with an official state rock anthem, and Hang On Snoopy is the official state rock anthem of Ohio.
And if I'm correct, were you not born in Ohio?
I was born in Ohio.
So that's going to be proud for you.
Oh, it's great. It's great. I mean, it's really good. Every time we go back to play in Ohio, the crowds really turn up, and they're so enthusiastic. And part of that is because of the success of Hang On Snoopy.
Yeah, there's a whole story behind that. I don't know if you want to just briefly kind of give us the idea behind Hang On Snoopy and what's in the works. From what I understand, there might even be something in the works in regards to a film maybe coming out about this, Hang On Snoopy. No?
Yeah, there is a film that's been made called Hang On Snoopy, the movie. And currently we're kind of going back and forth with the legalities involved. But it's a pretty good movie. People would enjoy seeing it, I can tell you that, so I can't wait for it to be officially released. Okay. But there's also a couple documentaries about my life and all the stuff I've done that are in the works, too. So I look forward to it's been a long career, but I'm looking forward to the future.
Well, I know that we've got limited time to be able to talk because I did want to kind of get into a couple of other things in regards to people that you've worked with, whether it's Johnny or Edgar Winters or working with Barbara Streisand. What's it been like to work with talent like that? Alice Cooper?
Yeah, Steely Dan. I've been on many Steely Dan records.
Love Steely Dan.
It's great. It's really great being able to communicate musically. Once again, I think it's just communication. And all those people need help in the studio, and I'm always happy to assist them. I'm happy whenever I can find an artist and help them get started. But in the end, it always ends up being between the music that I'm creating and the audience. And we've done it for a long time. The current band that I have, Ken and Charlie, have been with me a long time. So I'm not saying it to brag. But for the people considering maybe coming out to see the show up there, I would encourage them to do it because we really have been doing this long enough that we're pretty good at it. And what I always say is I can guarantee that the audience is going to have an enjoyable night. So come on out and see it.
Rick, I want to thank you so much for joining us and for folks who want to, again, the Shaw Center in Brockton, check out their website, www.theshawcenter.com. And I believe there's a ticket tab that you can go to in order to be able to purchase tickets for Saturday, February 10th at 7:30. Mr. Derringer, continued success, and I'm looking forward to the show, my friend.
Oh, thank you. And everybody also visit rickderringer.com when they're online.
Yeah, you know what? I was going to ask you for social media next, but you beat me to the punch. Rick, listen,
it connects to a Facebook at rickderringer.com, too. So everything's tied together now.
Excellent. Well, listen, you have yourself a good evening, and we'll look forward to seeing you on the 10th, my friend.
Thank you.
All right. That was great, talking to a legend like a Rick Derringer, guy who started out, in the McCoys back in the 60s, and has worked with so many great, talented guys and gals. We didn't mention during the interview because we didn't have a lot of time. A very, very busy guy who's still out touring, still writing and producing stuff, as you heard him there talking about working with his wife. But some of the things we didn't get a chance to talk about, other than him mentioning that he has done extensive work with Steely Dan. I hope to have asked him about working with Air Supply and Kiss, and even talking with him about being a part of a video game, Guitar Hero. I think it's Guitar Hero 2, and it's a very popular song that is on the game, from my understanding. So it was cool to talk with him about that, talk with him about the show coming up. I will say, those who are just tuning in, as we mentioned at the top of the show, the interview with Mr. Derringer is one of two in regards to acts that are going to be at the Shaw Center coming up in a few moments. A real treat for you. The night prior to Rick taking the stage on the 10th, the 9th will feature two bands, Wanted DOA and The Great Escape. We are going to have a couple of the guys, Rick and Pete from Wanted DOA. And these guys are part of a Bon Jovi tribute band. Wait until you check these guys out, as they're going to perform for us here, and we get a little insight into their group and their show. You are listening to Monday Night Talk here on 959 WATD. Don't go anywhere. Comes crashing down and it hurts inside.
You gotta take a stand. This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.
Daddy, I used that tea kettle to melt the ice off your windshield. Now there's beautiful and pretty crisscrosses and sparkly spider webs all over the windshield.
What?
Can we do Mom's too? Can we?
Oh, windshield broken? My boys do a good job.
My dad did a great job. 1-888-64-TINIES. Just call.
Monday Night Talk continues all week long. Go to 95.9WATD.com/Monday Night Talk and keep in touch on Facebook and Twitter. And now, more Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
Welcome back to the final segment of Monday Night Talk, as, of course, this is our Shaw's Conference Center block and closing out the program. We have two gentlemen from Wanted, D-O-A. This is a Bon Jovi tribute band. And we have Rich Figueredo. Did I say that right, Rich?
You sure did, Figueredo.
And Peter, it's going to be a little bit different for you. Peter Tintendo?
You got it, dude. Wow. Nailed it. I get Nintendo all the time, so it's like that's...
I almost deviated to Nintendo.
That's okay. So I get that.
I'm just going to go with Peter or Pete. We'll just stick with that.
It's all good, man.
I don't want to mess up on perfect. I got it once. And these gentlemen are kind of here to talk a little about a fantastic show that they're going to be a part of coming up on Friday, February 9th. Doors open, I would believe it's 7. Mm-hmm. Show will get underway about 7:30?
Yep.
Okay. Right. And it's going to be back-to-back bands, Wanted DOA and The Great Escape. They're a Journey tribute band.
Yeah, great band.
Yes.
Brockton, Massachusetts, One Feinberg Way, over by the Brockton High School.
Mm-hmm.
Can't miss it. You want to be there. You want to be somewhere in the building that night. Gentlemen, if you will, we'll start with Rich. Introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hey, guys. How are you? It's Rich Figueredo from Essex. Drove a little ways to do this interview, but it's well worth it. Yeah, we decided to put this band together in 2015. Before that, I was just doing random bands, writing a lot of music, playing in different bands, doing some acoustic stuff as well. And had enough of the bar scene. It was time to step it up and do some theaters and casinos and blah, 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 festivals. So here we are today.
Festivals. All right. Peter.
Hi, how you doing? My name is Peter Tintendo. I live up in Topsfield, Massachusetts, North Shore area representative, along with Rich here.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I met these guys about a year and a half ago, and, they were going looking for a new guitar player. And, I grew up on a lot of the 80s music, and I love all of that stuff. And it was Bon Jovi. So I was like, you think of the hits, you think of Living on a Prayer, mm-hmm. Wanted Dead or Alive, all that stuff. And, got in with these guys and all awesome dudes, and it just clicked. Like, our chemistry just clicked, and we just
it works really
off
well.
Off we go, and it was like off we go, harmonies and all that stuff. Everything
camaraderie,
just,
great camaraderie.
Connect the dots. I mean, where did the concept come from to say, hey, let's be part of a tribute band and do it right?
Mm-hmm. Well, a friend of mine was talking to me for quite a while about he knew I was frustrated with the bar scene and I wasn't happy. And you play the bars, you get a lot of TVs going and pool tables, and not everybody's going to be paying attention to you. So he had suggested doing a Bon Jovi tribute band and just playing, theaters and casinos, etc. And I pushed it off for a long time. And then one day I just said, you know what? I'm ready. I'm just going to do it. I got to get a good group of guys together, some characters. And I don't want to do it in an, in a way where I'm wearing a wig and I'm doing all this kind of stuff. And I want it to be truly authentic. So if Bon Jovi himself hears a band, he would get it. He would really get it,
So it's the authenticity. It's not like
impersonations.
Exactly. Yeah.
But what is it like? I mean, there are so many different bands out there that want to do the tribute band thing and do it to their certain way, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Reading some of the things I said this to you when you walked in during the break. Was the one thing that impressed me was you want to give the authentic experience, and it's not necessarily about you guys thumping your chest, but a matter of what you guys can do as a collective. Someone speak to that.
For us, it's more of a, like, we try to analyze every nook and crevice of the songs that, you know, with the big hits for Bon Jovi, and we capture them live. And that's, you know, there's no tracks, there's no, like, you know, some bands will use tracks, some bands will use other things, and we're all, it's just us, it's our vocals, it's our, we're as straight to a live band as it comes.
Yeah.
And that's so important in the delivery of the music, because, you know, it's like, you don't want to get caught up in the, you know, programming this, and, oh, we're all the musicians are in this band are top notch, and we're always trying to up our game with the songs and presenting them to the audience.
Yeah, there's a lot of behind the scenes. What people see at the show is obviously the final product, but behind the scenes, a lot of hours meticulously going right. over every little part, vocals especially, and just working everybody's voice every week, and just dialing it into the point where people see the show, it's true, it's real.
They close their eyes, and it's almost as though they're at the mm-hmm. show.
Absolutely.
There's no fudging it, so to speak.
No, that's you right. can't really, and there's a lot of other great tribute bands out there.
Sure.
I think it all just comes down to really how hard you work.
Exactly.
To get it to sound great together. And I put together a really great group of musicians, so they make it easy to push the band and to deliver the sound that we have.
How important is that? Because, I mean, while I have nowhere near the talent you gentlemen do, I've, you know, rented studio rooms and tinkered around with drums and bass and pretended to sing. And, you know, and seeing other bands and interacting and being friends with bands, it's, you know, it's it can be that tumultuous mix mm-hmm. where, you know what I mean? While they got a dynamite sound, there's friction within.
Yeah,
it's a family. It's like a family yeah, atmosphere at the same time yeah. being in a band.
Yeah,
yeah. But when Joey punches Bobby and Bobby's no longer in the band, then what? You know what I mean? It's kind of one of those things.
Everybody's happy Bobby's gone.
Yeah,
there's no hidden.
Well, if I could, if I was to take a peek sure. into your iPhone and your iPad, what do you listen to? What's the music that you like? What's the genres that either you came up with? Bon Jovi is obviously one
obviously,
of them.
Yeah.
But what would some of the other bands or some of the other music that you like?
I grew up, when I was really young, I was listening to it when Def Leppard, the song Photograph,
yes.
and Pyromania.
Wait, Nine Arms or Ten?
What's that?
Nine Arms or Ten?
Oh, back then it was Ten.
Okay.
That's right.
But you had Joe Elliott's voice in the band, and sure. that was huge. And then, you know, as I got older, I was experiencing more musicianship and stuff. Obviously, I got more into some of the local stuff, like Boston, the band Boston themselves,
sure.
Journey, a lot of the 70s. I always tend to go back to the 70s stuff myself. But the 80s stuff, when Bon Jovi came on, I just got it. It clicked. I got it, you know.
And for me, it was a little. I kind of came in. I'm a little younger, so I came in on it.
He's calling me old.
No, I'm not calling you old. I came in like when I was coming up. A lot of the music that I liked came from the same period, the exact same period. I grew up on the Beatles first. Like mm-hmm. my father is a big influence on a lot
sure.
of the 60s music. Beatles, Beach Boys, Harmonies, that kind of stuff. And then later I got into kind of the hard rock edge of it, like Kiss, bands like Kiss. I love the show and the visuals and
makeup.
And the makeup. Yeah, I'm going to put that on later. So, and then later, it was funny, Def Leppard, when he said Def Leppard, my first experience with Def Leppard, I saw it in like a VH1, like they were showing all these videos. And
sure.
I was like, who is this band? I thought they were new. I was like, because I was young and just like, who is this? I want to learn more about these guys and all that music. All that stuff is where I came at it from too. Bon Jovi falls into that same category with that stuff. So.
And it's funny because when I had this band, when I started it, I took all these guys and I said, I want you to think back when you were younger to that passion you had when you first mm-hmm. listened to the rock and roll and the music, when you're standing in front of the mirror with your air guitar jamming out, bring that on stage.
Absolutely.
Because people
exactly.
will eat that up.
Yeah.
You know?
And you basically live it.
Well, yeah.
You live it on stage and you live it in what you do, and you love what you do, and that's the whole thing. And people can see that.
People
if you
get
don't
it.
If you don't love what you do, it shows. People can see it and read it on your face, and you're not into it like you should be. Or you know, we're always into it. We're looking at a mirror when we practice. Sometimes it's kind of in front of us at our practice space, and we're looking at. You know, is people moving around? We're practicing everything.
Every detail.
Because we want to put on a show on top of everything else.
Like, and of course, when you're as part of the show, I'm sure, Rich, when you're up there in the front, you're probably watching the audience and seeing how they're, and it's one of those things that you kind of do a post-production. Maybe you guys get together going, you know, maybe we need to change up our set list for the next
Absolutely.
Show.
Absolutely. Every yep. time, yep. every rehearsal we go through this. Yeah, we literally put together a concert like the pros do. It's not just show up, what do we want to play? It's all worked out energy-wise, so the people feel a concert.
You get 40, I counted 40 songs. I don't know how up-to-date the website is, www.wanteddoa.com. But you've got from Bon Jovi's Inception, mm-hmm. Runaway, to the latest hits.
Yeah, absolutely.
What seems to be some of the more popular ones? You have people screaming out from the audience saying, you know, what are some of the more popular ones that folks love hearing you play?
Obviously, you get the obvious prayer, Living on a Prayer.
Yep.
One we get a lot, too, is Bad Medicine.
Bad Medicine.
That's huge.
Classic tune.
Yeah, huge. Gets people going, too. But we do some of the deeper cuts, too, like In and Out of Love. A lot of people like to hear that.
Homebound Train. We can go deep, train. Really deep in that same thing. But, you know, a lot of the newer stuff.
She Don't Know Me.
Yeah, She Don't
Another
Know.
Another one. Yeah.
Classic. Impressive. One of my favorites.
Very impressive.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, now you guys have promised that you're going to do a song, and we're going to close with a song, too,
mm-hmm.
which is awesome. It's great for me because I get to kind of sit and kind of watch you as
Absolutely.
As you guys craft your product here. And again, get the hook into the mouths of the folks. If you haven't got tickets yet, you still have time to get tickets for the February 9th show. We'll talk a little bit more about that. What do you want to perform?
I think we're going to do Who Says You Can't Go Home.
Nice.
Yeah,
That's one of the newer ones that they request a lot too at the show.
And it's got like a country tip to it.
It does
it?
Little country
little
flair.
Country flair to
little
it.
Little flair.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Crossover.
Yeah. We won't go too country on you.
We're gonna keep
it rock.
No twang here.
No twang. On this set. No, this side.
All right, a little Wanted DOA.
Spent 20 years trying to get out this place. I was looking for something I couldn't replace. Every road up and down, all the thing I ever known. Like a blind dog without a bone, was a gypsy lost in the twilight zone. High tattoo rainbow and crest, hit you a pot of gold. Saving dimes, spending too much time on the telephone. Who says you can't go home? Who says you can't go home? There's only one place to come and one of their own. Just a hometown boy, born a rolling stone. Who says you can't go home? Who says you can't go back? Been all around the world and that's a matter of fact. Only one place left I wanna go. Who says I can't go home? It's alright, 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 it's alright. That winter's
just a mile the road. Take it in, take it with you when you go. Says you can't go. Road says you can't go home. There's only one place to go, but one of their own. Just a hometown boy.
Little Wanted, D.O.A.,
yeah.
Rich Figueredo, Pete Tintindo.
Yeah, baby.
Wow. I can go home now.
He's done.
I'm done. That was fantastic, guys.
Thank you so much.
And folks, if you're listening at home, you might want to get yourself tickets for this fantastic show. Guys, I don't know how much you know about The Great Escape. Have you ever met these gentlemen, or have you got any intel on the band that you're going to be on stage with or sharing the stage with?
So these guys are top-notch musicians, top-notch players, great. They've been around for a little while now, and I got to tell you, when I reached out to them to do the show, they were excited to do it, which is really exciting to hear because I've been wanting to play with them for a long time. I just needed a good excuse to get them involved. So I'm really excited to have these guys on board. Really am. Great band.
As far as now, can they get tickets at the box office? Is this something that they're doing through your website? Do you know the manner as to how they're going to be able to get tickets?
Yeah, so you want to go to our website, wanteddoa.com, and up there we've got a link that goes over to the Shaw Center where you can get the tickets.
Easy enough, just like that.
Simple.
How about as far as other than your website, social media, you guys, Instagram guys, Facebook?
Yeah, we're on Instagram, Wanted DOA Tribute. We also have Facebook, Wanted DOA Tribute. Please go up there and like us. We want to be liked.
Now, this is the one thing that I have to ask,
sure. And
that is, have you ever had a chance to meet with any of the members of Bon Jovi, ever?
I have not, no. I not yet.
I can't say that I have either.
But my end goal is to meet John and have him see the show. And just, you know, hopefully, I just want him to, you know, hopefully he'll think we're doing it a good job.
Complete the circle.
That's all.
Complete the circle, which is key. I think you want to kind of get that. If you're emulating somebody, you want to kind of get the
approval.
The seal of approval.
The
saying,
thumbs up.
Man, wow. Oh, you did that better than I did.
I don't know if
I don't know if he would say that, but it would be cool if he did say that.
Right.
And I gotta say thank you. You brought me in some swag, brought me in a shirt.
Yeah, Wanted DOA. We got shirts at the shows too.
Yep.
So you'll have merch there?
Yes.
We have merch. We get these really nice winter hats that are
keeping you nice and warm during this cold winter we're having.
How about as far as any recordings? Do you record anything, or is that a tricky slope?
It's very tricky. So we don't actually. The only thing we record, we do videos on our shows, and we try to post them on Facebook and any of our social media on Instagram. Again, it's Wanted DOA Tribute, but you can go to our website. We've got videos up there as well as YouTube.
Do you use Vimeo or do you use YouTube?
We use YouTube.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wasn't sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody is different. So what are we going to close the show? Actually, before we go, anything I haven't asked you but you feel you want to make sure you get out there to the listeners, to the fans. I mean, came all the way down from the North Shore. Really appreciative, guys.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for the opportunity. Absolutely. We just really want to get all the South Shore fans into the Shaw Center. You know, we really do. We want to really pack this place and... you know, put on a great show.
It's a great venue. And
I got to say this,
and of course, you know, you can't see it because it's radio. It's in a visual medium. But I got staff members who have been walking by as these two gentlemen are performing with the thumbs up going, yeah, why?
We're making too much noise in here, Richie.
You guys out there walking by, I hope you're going to be buying tickets too.
That's right.
We'll see you at the show.
Got to be at the show somewhere. All right, so what are we closing the show out with, guys?
So we thought we'd do, the name of the band's Wanted DOA, so we thought we'd close it off with Wanted Dead or Alive.
Gentlemen, I want to thank you, and we'll look forward to seeing you at the show on the 9th.
Thank you so much,
thank you
buddy.
For having us.
Here they are, Wanted DOA.
4.
Yeah.